Welcome to Backseat Box Office, episode number 220, for the weekend of February 6th through February 8th. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And this is Tony.
What? And we are the Backseat Producers, both the second edition and the original Backseat Producer has joined us tonight. And yes, what I'm laboring to say is this is Backseat Box Office. How's it going, guys?
It's going well. Good. It's going good.
So, Tony, nice of you to join us. How did this come about?
I don't recall exactly. I think I may have said, hey, if you guys ever want to, I found a way to worm onto a lot of other podcasts, and mostly it's down to, hey, you mind if I join you guys sometime? Quite often. I mean, I know with us, pretty much that's all it takes. And going out anywhere with Adam, it's, you know, he'll tell everybody, hey, yeah, we do this movie review thing. You do anything Wednesday night? Come on out. I have to drive that way anyway. I'll pick you up. And because he literally lives on the exact opposite end of St. Louis, so if you live anywhere between he and I, and if you're in St. Louis, you probably do. he'll stop by and pick you up on the way and bring you to my house, and we'll record. In fact, he did that just last week. We had a couple of new folks join us. So I just asked, and been working with Jeff a little bit on getting things more efficient in getting everything posted to the website, because Jeff was relying on my lazy ass to get everything. He would get the notes out there, and so that's why if you're listening, you'd see the notes go out there like sometimes a day, sometimes 2 or 3 days, and they'd be out there, and then eventually I'd get around to posting them. Well, I finally, being lazy, got around to getting him access to go ahead and upload those himself. So you guys should start seeing those all at the same time now.
I thought you were getting sick of my Friday emails.
No, this past Friday, I kept refreshing the page because it's like, oh, I want to see when it goes out. I want to make sure it's right. I want to see. I was kind of towing the line between waiting for an email from you saying, hey, I need help with this, or just waiting for it to pop up and knowing that everything was cool. And I got busy doing something else, and my phone chimed, and I looked, and it was my app, my Podcast Addict app that I use for my podcast listening, and the episode had downloaded. So, success. I knew everything went well.
Cool, yeah. You know, I didn't know that your inbox was lonely, Tony, so I will aim to correct that in the future.
You can do that anytime. I don't mind email. Not at all.
See, now, I wasn't privy to how this all started, so I imagined it a completely different way in my head.
Let's hear this. I want to hear this.
So I imagined, hey, Jeff, I want to come be on this show. Sir, yes, sir. That's the way it went in my head. I don't – not can I come be on this show that's kind of on my network. Like, hey, I'm coming on down. Okay, let's tidy up around here. He's coming to see it to inspect.
Yeah, it looks like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the crazy, or not the crazy uncle, but, you know, big brother sitting in. I really got to, you know, pay attention now.
I got a t-shirt that says, look busy, Vader's coming.
Now see, what's...
He's here to put us back on schedule. Is that what it is?
We're joking about this. I've spent the last 2 days, well, not today, because I pretty much was finished today, but I spent the better part of yesterday gutting my desk, cleaning, and I'm not talking just reorganizing piles of stuff. Like, I had the Windex out and the paper towels, and I was cleaning my desk, cleaning the tops of the file cabinets. We've got a new COO or EVP or whatever his title is for our organization, and he starts next week, and he's doing walk-arounds of every department. So we got the call to, hey, clean up your area, because we're IT, and it's a little cluttered. Now, granted, my desk is probably the most clean desk in the apartment, like on a good day. But right now, my desk looks spotless. There is a cart full of boxes and equipment between my cubicle and the guy's next to me's cubicle. His where his computer normally would be has boxes on it. His chair has stuff on it. Like he can't even use his cubicle right now. It's so full of stuff that the cleaning crew came through and picked up off the floor because they cleaned the carpets. They picked all this stuff up. So we're joking about this, but yeah, that totally happened at my office.
Wow. Well, let's hope there are no white gloves broken out.
You know, I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
My station is tight. It's looking good.
All right. Well, I guess we should get back to business. And so let's talk about how the box office ended up last week. At number one, we have American Sniper, which held on for yet another week with $30.6 million. At number two, we have new release Project Almanac. That came in at $8.3 million. At number three, we have Paddington with $8.2 million. At number four, we have Black or White with $6.2 million. And at number five, we have The Boy Next Door coming in at, I'm just going to say $6.0 million. So there's your top five. Not great numbers.
No, these numbers are sad. We haven't seen numbers like this.
It is. Yeah, that's it. The Super Bowl weekend. It's traditionally taken a hit.
Now, speaking of Super Bowl, Art, you mentioned that you left your Super Bowl party early.
I did.
So, and we talked about movie trailers. Which ones have you seen? I know I was texting you every one that I saw.
Right. So I saw the SpongeBob, and I saw the Nightman, and I saw two different Tomorrowlands in the time I was sitting there. And I saw what else? I know I saw a couple others. But yeah, I saw all the ones that happened like before halftime.
So were there any trailers that swayed you to, I wasn't going to see it, to I'm going to go see it, or?
You know what? I hadn't even seen. You had talked about Nightmen. You had talked about Nightmen, and I hadn't even seen that trailer. That does look really good.
Yeah, I'm excited just based on the fact that it's a Matthew Vaughn film. And I don't exactly know why or how it happened, but I have a feeling that he kind of left Days of Future Past and, you know, went, this is the movie he wanted to make after that.
Right.
So,
are we talking about Kingsman?
Kingsman.
That's okay. The one.
Yep.
You're right. I hadn't even heard of the movie until just last week. It completely slipped under my radar. So the last time we talked about it, Jeff said we talked about who had bought spots. There were like 11 movies that definitely had spots during the Super Bowl. And that was the first I heard of it. And Jeff said he was really excited about it. And I was like, I haven't heard anything. And
wow.
So then I saw the trailer and I was like, yes, that looks very good. Seventh Son was the other one I saw for sure during the show. But I had seen that one. I had seen an earlier one before. That was, I think, a newer trailer with more stuff in it.
Yeah, nothing really blew the doors off for me. I mean, maybe inched me closer to Jurassic World. But it seems like I think they had a big either had a, you know, a long spot or they had three or four different ones.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Tony?
Yeah.
Did you watch the big game?
I did. We have an annual family get together surrounding the Super Bowl. We have my family my dad was in the military, so we moved around just a little bit. But I have my grandmother's side of the family was from Pittsburgh. So anytime the Steelers are in, it is an event, and we have to keep the children away from my brother, especially if the Steelers don't do well, because they learn things. Very colorful language from him. But we always watch the game, and even though this about a week and a half ago, my mom had knee replacement surgery. We decided that we were still going to do it, and we invaded their house instead of her cooking everything. We brought everything over, and still did the same thing. Had a good time, watched the game and all the commercials, and saw. I'm looking through the list of the trailers that that played, and I think there's only one of them that I didn't catch the trailer for. But yeah, so I'm seeing that we had another 50 Shades commercial, the SpongeBob one. There's one for a movie called Unfinished Business. I apparently missed that commercial.
That was a very quick spot, and if I remember correctly, that's a Vince Vaughn movie.
Yeah, I'm seeing Vince Vaughn in the little snippet.
Yeah.
Seventh Son, which I've been seeing stuff on and off for the last couple months about that. Insurgent, the next Divergent movie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Terminator Genesis, I did see that one, and I wasn't sure, but I'm intrigued by the little bits of it that I saw, especially Schwarzenegger looking. They showed clips that were, it looked like it was obviously some kind of digital animation of him being youthful, mm-hmm. but then there was other stuff of him looking his age. So I'm intrigued. I'm not going to say I'm full on ready to go see it, but I'm definitely a lot more curious about what's going on there.
That's what I said last week. I just watched the trailer right before we started, and I said, I'm interested. I am interested.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it just seems that there's been too many Terminator movies. I think I'm, you know, I've seen everything I need to see with Terminator World. I could be wrong.
I'm curious. I mean, I did enjoy the television show, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which mm-hmm. is so much easier to read than to say. but yeah, I'm not completely sold on it yet, but I am not completely opposed to the idea at this point.
Yeah.
Ted 2, Minions, that little Minions teaser, mm-hmm. and that one was really just a teaser.
Right.
Pitch Perfect 2, Tomorrowland, The Kingsman, Furious 7, and Jurassic World. And I did see the rest of those. I'm still intrigued by Tomorrowland, and I think I'm ready for another Jurassic Park story. I think Jurassic World is at this point, unless I see something that's just completely offensive, I'm ready for it. I want to see that one. I love Chris Pratt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The rumors that they're looking at him for Indiana Jones is mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I'm so fine with that.
All right. Well, so we will conclude our talking about the box office and the big game last week. So now let's focus on this weekend, and we have three new movies coming out in the theaters this week. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
Okay, the first one we have is Jupiter Ascending. It is rated 26% rotten on the tomato meter, 95 reviews counted, 25 fresh, 70 rotten. I'm guessing all of these people were at Sundance, because we talked about this last week and how much hate it was getting. But 97% want to see it out of 70,000 users. So it's a popcorn movie. We'll see what happens. All right. From the streets of Chicago to the far-flung galaxies whirling through space, Jupiter Ascending tells the story of Jupiter Jones, Mila Kunis, who was born under a night sky with signs predicting she was destined for great things. Now grown, Jupiter dreams of the stars but wakes up to the cold reality of a job cleaning other people's houses and an endless run of bad breaks. Only when Kane, Channing Tatum, a genetically engineered ex-military hunter, arrives on Earth to track her down, does Jupiter begin to glimpse the fate that has been waiting for her all along. Her genetic signature marks her as next in line for an extraordinary inheritance that could alter the balance of the cosmos. Rated PG-13 for some violent sequences of sci-fi action, some suggestive content, and partial nudity. Wow, I just got a lot more interested. It is directed by Andy Wachowski and Lana Wachowski, written by Andy and Lana, 2 hours and 5 minutes. We also have Sean Bean, and there are a lot of people on this list and not a lot of names I recognize. How about you guys?
James Darcy, who is currently playing Jarvis on Agent Carter's in this movie.
Mm.
And I noticed almost at the very bottom, Terry Gilliam.
Oh, hey. So, I hadn't even scrolled that far.
Those are the only two I really recognize.
So the important thing that I think we need to discuss right here and right now is what's the minutes pool on Sean Bean's death in the movie?
Oh, I was going to say, is there a chance he lives?
I don't know. That's a stretch.
I think we got to find out who his character is.
Yeah. I'm not for sure on that one.
Dies on Earth before they even make it off planet.
Yeah, so...
I'm somewhat interested in this. The visuals I've seen, they look stunning. This is not going to be a, you know, strong character study, you know, great story. This is going to be an action-y, sci-fi, look at all the pretty explosions type movie.
I think you're right. I saw some trailer stuff for this a couple months back, and my first thought is, why are they making Channing Tatum look like that? Because it's just an odd look. And then my second thought is, there's a guy, and I can't remember what his name is. I've seen him in a number of other things. He looks to be the heavy in the trailer. He looks like he's maybe the leader of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can think of when he speaks his line is, oh my God, he's talking just like the aliens from Galaxy Quest.
Oh, nice.
So there's some little bits of things that are just, you know, why are you doing it that way? But you are correct that the visuals do look amazing. And the Wachowskis, they put together some pretty movies. So I don't think there's any worry there. I think my biggest concern with it is that they're releasing a movie that looks like it should be a big summer blockbustery actioner popcorn movie in February.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say, Tony, is it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and I think the only thing they might be going for is that my girlfriend's going to 50 Shades. I'm going to go see something else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to this one. Maybe. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when we went to go see The Hobbit the first time, my buddy was asking me about this, and I said, you know, it looks like maybe another run at Fifth Element. And he was like, really? And then he saw the trailer and says, we have to go see that. So, but I'm not with him in that regard. My daughter told me that she would be in if they didn't make Channing Tatum look so terrible.
But
he looks like an elf surfer.
Though my thought is that quite possibly the partial nudity we're going to see is Channing Tatum's butt.
I mean, I'm out.
It's either going to be that, or there's going to be a scene, because you know what this movie actually reminded me a lot of? It reminded me a lot of somebody taking the old Flash Gordon movie with Sam Jones, shredding the ideas that they had there, pulling out different ideas and making a movie out of it. Because it just feels like, I don't know, just there's something about it that just is touching on some of the vibes that I got from that old Flash Gordon. And I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. But my thought is, the other possibility for the partial nudity is that there's that typical scene of her being bathed by people who are elevating her up as the queen. So she's getting up out of the water and you see her back at her backside. That's my nudity predictions for this movie.
All right. Now we know why we were having Tony on this week. All right. So I think we're done with Jupiter Ascending. Tony, why don't you tell us about Seventh Son?
Well, Seventh Son is scoring a whopping 7% rotten on the tomato meter. This is with 43 reviews counted, 3 of them fresh, 40 rotten. Now, I clicked away from Seventh Son a minute ago. When I did that at first, there were only 40 reviews and 3 of them fresh. So there were 3 new rotten reviews came in just in the last 5 minutes. The audience seems to want to see it, though. It's got a 95 want to see out of 43, almost 44,000 votes. Let's see, the description. In a time long past, an evil is about to be unleashed that will reignite the war between the forces of the supernatural and humankind once more. Master Gregory, Jeff Bridges, is a knight who had imprisoned the malevolently powerful witch, Mother Malkin, Julianne Moore, centuries ago. But now she has escaped and is seeking vengeance. Summoning her followers of every incarnation, Mother Malkin is preparing to unleash her terrible wrath on an unsuspecting world. Only one thing stands in her way, Master Gregory. In a deadly reunion, Gregory comes face to face with the evil he always feared would someday return. He has only until the next full moon to do what usually takes years, train his new apprentice, Tom Ward, Ben Barnes, to fight a dark magic unlike any other. Man's only hope lies in the seventh son of a seventh son. Rated PG-13 for intense fantasy violence and action throughout, frightening images, and brief, strong language. Directed by Sergei Bodrov. I'm not exactly how to pronounce Sergei with a Y at the end. Most troubling of all, written by Joseph Delaney, Matt Greenberg, Charles Levitt, Aaron Guzikowski, and Stephen Knight. Starring Jeff Bridges. Yeah, starring Jeff Bridges, Julianne Moore, Ben Barnes. I'm going to skip down to Kit Harington, Jaimin Hansu, Jason Scott Lee. Some of the other names aren't really sticking out. Those were the few that really did for me. Yes. I saw a little bit about this, and one of the things that I saw, and it kind of comes through in the trailers, it sounds like Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore are fun to watch because they're just camping it up. But other than that, it looks like it takes itself a little bit seriously for the subject matter.
Was Julianne Moore in Lebowski?
I don't recall.
I've never seen it.
I have, but it's been a while. Give me a second. I'm looking.
Yeah, I'm looking too.
Yeah. See, okay. Jeff Bridges is at a point in his career where there's no middle ground. You know, it's either he's absolutely fantastic or he's in a total dog of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is coming down to the total dog of a movie side of things.
I feel like I heard about this movie a long time ago.
Oh yeah, we talked about this a while ago.
I know I did. Yeah. This is another one of those movies that I first started seeing trailers for months and months ago. Kingsman was another one that I know I saw a trailer for it probably 6 months ago, which is weird, but yeah. I don't go to the theater that often anymore, and I know it's been a while since I saw it, and I saw it in the theater.
Well, I know things get shelved, you know, something
sure.
They're like, well, this is not the right time. We're gonna respot. We're gonna put this. You know, it's gonna get moved somewhere else in the schedule, or you know, they scheduled it for some time, and then some other big blockbuster gets slotted in at the same time. Like, well, we're gonna move this, or we're gonna get crushed. You know, because it's just not that good. So.
So, Art, is this a wait for video, or are you gonna trudge out to the?
This is a wait for cable.
A snow-covered theater.
This is wait for free on TBS or maybe a free HBO weekend.
No, I was asking about Julianne Moore because Big Lebowski prequel, that they're both like, I don't know, vampires or immortal or something like that. Same characters. I wouldn't put it past Hollywood to do that.
If that happened, that would actually make this movie worth seeing.
Yeah.
that would be pretty epic.
All right, so let's move on to the last movie that I'm going to tell you about, the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water. It is currently 71% out of 39 reviews, 28 fresh, 11 rotten, and out of the audience, 89% want to see it out of 17,000, I'm going to say 200 people. So here's the description, and buckle in. SpongeBob SquarePants, the world's favorite sea-dwelling invertebrate, comes ashore to our world for his most superheroic adventure yet. That's it. Rated PG. Genre is comedy, animation, and corporate cash grab. Directed by Paul Tibbett. Written by, took three people to write this, Jonathan Eibel, Glenn Berger, and Paul Tibbett. And parents, it's going to cost you 1 hour and 40 minutes of your time. Okay. For the cast, Tom Kenny, Bill Fagerbakke? Okay, I'm going to have to pronounce his name as Roger Bumpass. Clancy Brown, Carolyn Lawrence, Antonio Banderas, and Douglas Lawrence. So, who's getting dragged to this one? Art, Tony?
You know what? I think this one is actually one I'll be willing to go see. As crazy as that sounds, I've seen the trailer for it, and my first thought was immediately to see how far my eyes could roll back into my head. But the trailer looks, I don't know, it looked like it could be fun.
Yeah.
My bar is a lot lower. It's set a lot lower when I'm seeing movies with my kids, because if they're having a good time, it elevates it for me. This one looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going from, you know, the animated style to, I don't want to say live action, but maybe, I don't know.
I would say live action.
They're going for like a digital live action look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Art? What do you think?
I've never been a huge SpongeBob person, and Aubrey definitely isn't. She'll watch a show occasionally, but she's not hardcore about it in any sense of the word. So no, probably not.
Yeah, I know my son wants to go, and it being a 3-day weekend, I don't think there's a way that's not going to happen. All right, so there was the three movies coming out wide release this weekend. So now we can get to share time. So, Art, what'd you watch last week?
You know what? I've had a very busy week. I worked 6 days last week. I'm working 6 days this week. Overtime all around because somebody fell and hurt themselves. So I have not watched much of anything. You know, regular TV shows. It's been a very slow week. I just tonight rewatched most of The Book of Life. I didn't finish it because I came in here to start the podcast with you guys, but I still really, really enjoyed that movie. We rent a room to a buddy of mine because he needed a place, and he actually got home right as it was starting, and I said, yeah, we got this in. It's just starting. He sat down. He never got back up, and he sat through the whole thing and thoroughly enjoyed it. He was laughing the whole time. So it's a really good movie. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. And which leads me into I picked it up at Target for $10. Target is having a huge sale. Over 100 movies. I think it's almost close to 200 movies for $10. And it's not just DVDs. I saw Blu-ray DVD digital copy combo packs for $10. A lot of good movies. I actually pulled up a listing to look over in the when we get to the news portion of the show. But other than that, it's been same old, same old. All caught up on Elementary. Still really loving that. And other random TV shows. No movies other than most of Book of Life again.
So, Art, you're going to sit there and tell me no Hallmark movies, no terrible reality television.
No. Oh, I did see the Daredevil trailer.
Oh, and what do you think of the Daredevil trailer?
I think it looks good. April 10th cannot come fast enough.
Yeah, kind of updating.
I concur.
Updating something we talked about last week, and I can close another tab for news, is that it looks like April 10th, as Art said, is going to be the premiere on Netflix for Daredevil. There have been no other announcements about the three other series. Iron Fist, Luke Cage, and Jessica Jones. Rumors are that maybe the first two could be by the end of the year, and Jessica Jones could be 2016. Even though they found Jessica Jones, Kristen Ritter. So who knows? As soon as we find out, we'll let you guys know, though.
And you know that there's going to be a tie-up either. I think a movie is what they're talking.
I heard many series if you're talking about Defenders.
Defenders, and they're going to change the concept of what the Defenders were from the comics and use those street level characters as the Defenders,
because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That gives them a lot more leeway, but you know, who knows what they're going to do.
I love it. I love the fact that and I love the fact that Marvel is keeping all their stuff in one
continuity,
cogent universe. It's great. I really dig it.
All right. Art, anything else?
That's all I got.
Okay, Tony, yep. What did you watch in the last, years that you've been on the show?
Well, I'm not going to do all that to you.
Okay, good.
I will say that last year, Julie and I mainlined Game of Thrones, and I am currently listening to the audiobooks, which if you have an incredible amount of time to kill, the audiobooks for Game of Thrones can do that for you. I'm currently in the middle of the third book, which is 40 CDs long.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the books are, I'm finding now at the point I'm at now where the books are starting to diverge from the TV show, which is kind of refreshing. It feels like I'm not just wasting my time listening to the same stuff I've already seen. So I'm excited about the new season of that coming up in April. They've been releasing some trailers for that, so I've been keeping up with those trailers as they come out. Lately, I've also I've kind of gotten back into my video gaming a little bit between Good Old Games releasing a lot of the Lucasfilm stuff.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, so I had to go and pick up. I'm blanking on the name of it. It's right here on my desktop. Galactic Battlegrounds. Star Wars Galactic Battlegrounds. The real-time strategy Star Wars that they did based on Age of Empires.
One of those, right?
Yeah, I think it was they used the Age of Empires engine. It plays exactly the same as those games, except with Star Wars themes. But yeah, it's an old school RTS, so I've been playing that on and off. I've been eyeballing getting a PS4, but I haven't pulled the trigger yet because I've still got a ton of Xbox 360 games that I have not finished, or a few of them that I own but just haven't even started yet. So I dusted off Skyrim. I tried to start it once and didn't get very far. So I'm digging into that now, and it's interesting. It's fun climbing to the top of the mountains and just looking out over the world. It's very pretty. It's very pretty to do that sometimes, when I'm not being turned into a vampire and killing dragons and stuff like that. And then most recently, in the last 2 days, we caught the premiere of the new show Fresh Off the Boat. We've been kind of getting into the comedies there, and that's another one that's that kind of fits into our wheelhouse of family comedies that we like. We like the Goldbergs, and we like Modern Family, and this fits right in with that. It's really funny. It's an Asian family from Washington, D.C., where they lived in Chinatown, and they had a close network of family and friends move to Orlando. And this is all set in 1995.
Interesting.
Yeah. The oldest son is he so desperately wants to be a hip-hop black kid. He's always wearing Notorious B.I.G. shirts and quoting rappers and Snoop Dogg, and I noticed as the credits were rolling, as we were watching one of the episodes tonight, that Eddie Wong, which is the character's name, is one of the producers. So very much like the Goldberg, where Adam Goldberg is telling stories, fictionalized versions of stories of him growing up in the 80s, Eddie Wong is telling stories of himself and his family growing up in the 90s. As they move to Orlando and try to acclimate to the very Caucasian world of the suburbs, and of dad trying to run a cattleman's ranch, a steakhouse that he's created from the ground up. And, because you hear for the first few minutes he moved to start the restaurant, and then you find out that it's a steakhouse, not what you would assume that it would have been a Chinese restaurant. No, it's a steakhouse. So, we're liking that one too. It's got a good cast. The the husband, the father of the main character is Randall Park, who played Kim Jong-un in The Interview.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I don't recognize the mother from anything, but she's hilarious. She is super funny. So, yeah, I definitely recommend checking that out, especially if you like things like Modern Family or The Goldbergs, that just kind of take a peek at the way families really are and pokes a little bit of fun at it. But it's still about family. So,
yeah, I think I had a conversation at work with a coworker about that. Channel 7 is kind of drawing a line in the sand with, you know, can I say ethnocentric situational comedies?
Oh, yeah, and Blackish.
Yeah.
Blackish is another one. And we watch that, and we're enjoying them. It's good stuff. I appreciate being able to sit down and watch these shows with my kids, because a lot of times there's not stuff you just can.
True. True. The Wednesday block. We don't watch Blackish, but every the middle, Goldbergs, and Modern Family, we watch every week.
Yeah. We never got into the middle, but it's you're right there.
Yeah.
Question: the Game of Thrones on CD. Are you getting that from the library, or did you purchase that? Are Audible?
I got it from my library.
Okay.
The library system around here is fantastic, and I know the first two books are around 30-ish discs each. The fourth one is 40. I'm sorry, the third one is 40. I haven't picked up the fourth one yet because I'm like, I think I started the 13th disc today, so I've got a little ways to go. But I've been getting them from the library.
Okay. I'm going to have to look into that because I have a lot of time on my hands.
Yeah, Art, how many podcasts you listen to during a work week?
I don't know. I track it in hours, and you know, I listen to about 40 to 50 hours a week. Actually, more than that, because I listen to it at speed and a half.
Mm.
So
I do the same when I listen to podcasts, actually.
Yeah.
It's weird listening to something not at speed. I feel like
everybody's talking so slow.
Yes, exactly.
No, you're not drinking Red Bull while you're doing this, are you?
No, I'm not. I don't hardly ever drink caffeine. Well, when I need it.
Well, I just want to make sure because I thought I was the normal one, but both of you listen at you know, 1.5 times.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay. No, the only thing that does happen is occasionally when the intro or outro music to a podcast is a little more upbeat. Kind of makes you feel like your heart's going to explode when that music starts going fast.
Well, see, I used to listen to a podcast, and they did a lot of music. You know, they would have one or two songs at the end of every show, and so I would have to turn it down to listen to the end of the show to hear the songs, what the songs are supposed to sound like.
Okay, so Tony, is that it for Showtime?
That is it for me.
Okay. All right. Even though I didn't have any inclement weather, I did not watch a lot of movies last week, but I did get to go to the theater with my mom on my birthday to see The Imitation Game.
Ooh.
And obviously she picked that one, because usually I let mom pick most of the time. I wasn't really that excited about The Imitation Game, but I had a fantastic time with this movie.
Is that the Benedict Cumberbatch breaking the code thing?
Yeah.
Turing.
Okay.
It's Alan Turing?
Yeah, it's about Alan Turing and his role in aiding, or, you know, he probably did most of it, but, you know, as you're watching any historical movie, you know, you always wonder about how much of it is really true. But there are a lot of good performances in this movie. Cumberbatch is great again, but it's a very interesting story, and, you know, I've just been on this run about World War II. And, you know, I never heard about, you know, the device, the Enigma machine, that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. The device that the Germans used to send coded messages back and forth. And, you know, Turing, basically, I don't know exactly how true this is, but, he's supposed to be the father of computing. And, you know, computers are actually... technically should be called Turing machines. He was the first one that really figured out that there's no way that man's going to be able to do this. We need a machine to break the code. And it was an excellent story. Absolutely zero action scenes in this movie about World War II. I would definitely recommend it. And what else was I going to say? And it didn't seem that long. I mean, to me, the story moved. And, you know, if Turing was anything like he was in the movie, he's basically Sheldon Cooper's great-great-grandfather. but I really enjoyed it. And, you know, for anyone that, you know, uses a computer for most of their day, I almost feel like that they need to go, you know, they need to watch this movie. But, you know, if you do take your mom or your significant other and they're clued into the movie, there could be some Kleenex required. Because it's the ending's very tragic. So yeah, Imitation Game. And then as far as TV, haven't really watched any TV. I am caught up on Star Wars Rebels. I think that was the first time in about a month and a half that Art has not talked about Star Wars Rebels. where he's still enjoying Star Wars Rebels. It kind of felt like maybe a catch-up episode that they're, you know, that they're kind of, you know, like the snake is coiling for another strike in the next episode or two. One show that has been sitting on my DVR for a while that I want to get rid of, and just because it, you know, that came back recently, was Helix. Now, I don't know what to think of Helix, because it's kind of all over the place. And I just saw an article the other day saying about how it is the greatest show currently playing on Sci-Fi because it is a mess and you don't know what's going on, and they never explain any of the mysteries that they foreshadow. That's not really a great selling point for me to get into a show.
That's a weird reason to laud something.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I thought. I mean, I like some of the actors. I mean, Billy Campbell and a couple other people. But it's trying to be Lost, but it's even worse than Lost was at being Lost. So, I don't know. I might give it a couple more episodes. At this point in the season, Jeri Ryan shows up, and she's kind of the head of this evil corporation. But yeah, we'll see what happens, because, you know, the setting for the first season is a secret base in the Arctic. And then I see the promos for season two and they're on an island. So it, you know, I might have to watch it just to see how they connect those two settings. So I think other than that, and Art already talked about the Daredevil trailer, I think I'm done with my share time. And now that we're done with share time, let's get to news. Art, what do you have?
Let's kick it off right. A Robotech movie is happening. So this has been on the books since 2007. It was announced that Tobey Maguire's production company had acquired the rights to the property. At one point, Leonardo DiCaprio rumored that he turned down a role in Star Wars 7 to star in the lead role in the Robotech movie. But since it didn't happen in the last 6 years, they've moved on from that. The people behind it are the same people behind the 300 Rise of an Empire, and the current people who are also involved in it. Okay, I had not heard about this. Have you heard that there is a Shadow of the Colossus movie being made?
No.
No, I had not.
Are both of you familiar with Shadow of the Colossus?
I have heard of it. I have not played it.
Okay. So I think this is very interesting. People were saying that it should have came out sooner. It would have been a better movie than Pacific Rim. Being as I still haven't seen Pacific Rim.
What?
I know.
You're killing me, Art. Do you own it, right?
I do own it.
It is in your house?
It's in my house. It's sitting on my shelf.
Does it have to snow more?
What are you doing talking to us right now? Come on.
I've been busy. And you know what? It's hard, all right? Because, you know, it has to be time when I am alone and nobody is around.
When the pants come off, it's daddy's time.
There is no, you know what? My kid is broken, okay? There is no daddy's time. You know what she's doing right now? She's awake right now. She's 3 years old and she will not sleep. She is a night owl.
Maybe Pacific Rim will put her to sleep.
I can't put that on with her on. I feel bad enough at some of the stuff I let her watch.
Just fast forward through the action scenes and do the dialogue scenes, and she'll be out in 3 minutes.
What were we watching? She watched Avengers with us.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because she was awake, and we're like, and she didn't want to go to bed. I'm like, all right, well, we're watching this movie. You can stay up, but you need to be quiet. And so she watched Avengers. And the opening scene, I think I told you this story, Jeff, but I'm going to retell it for Tony's sake. The opening scene where they're working on the cosmic cube, and Loki comes in and just lays a smack down, shoots a bunch of people with the rod, beats people down. People are just going down left and right. And Aubrey looks over at me, and she goes, Dada, he killed those people. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing? And I said, no. He just took them out. We don't know that he killed them. She's like, no, he killed them. I was like, okay, whatever. It's done. And we kept watching. So.
but he's a bad guy.
He is
so
a bad guy. He is a bad
fine.
Guy. That's what he does. Yes, he
that's
kills
right.
people. So yeah, I suppose, but I just don't know. That might be too intense for her. And I will feel worse as a father if I let her watch Pacific Rim. I just feel like that would be the case. So I do need to watch it. I desperately, desperately want to find the time to watch it. It's my next. I've woken up at 5 a.m. I can't get back to sleep, but everybody's still sleeping. That will be the first thing on my list that I throw on, Pacific Rim.
Do you enjoy the big monster movies?
Oh, I love the big monster movies. I was a big monster movie guy from way back, and Godzilla and all that. I loved those as a kid.
Okay, so between that and the Glee, at which you mentioned that you were talking about a Robotech movie, when you told us about it before the show started, you need to see this movie.
Oh, I know. Okay, are you familiar with Cthulhu Tech?
Yes.
Cthulhu Tech, the role-playing game. When I saw this, when they saw the announcement for Pacific Rim, I'm like, this is Cthulhu Tech, the role-playing game, come to life.
Mm. Yep.
So yeah, no, I do really, really want to see it. So yeah, but Robotech, the movie. I'm super excited about this. I watched this as a kid when it first aired on television. I would literally get up, get ready, throw it on, watch to the very end of the show, and then have to run to school to not be late. Because this was back in the day before DVRs, and we had no VCR to record. Because, you know, I grew up poor. I'm Hispanic. Mm. That's the way it is. No. So, yeah, I know. I've had a love affair with Robotech going way back. I have all of the shows on DVD. One of the shows in its original Japanese incarnation where it has nothing to do with Robotech. I've got all the Palladium books. So, yeah, no, I love me some Robotech, and I'm very excited about this. So, moving on. Who's next? Tony, what do you got?
Well, I've got a preview for a movie that's coming out next week. This is some news about 50 Shades of Grey. I'm going to take a step back and say that I bought the book for Julie, kind of on a lark. She reads romance novels, and I knew this was kind of all the rage. She was also very into Twilight, and a lot of people don't realize that 50 Shades of Grey is actually Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah.
That basically you can find all the books online, and you just replace Bella and Edward with the two characters from the movie, and it's the books. At which point she said that totally killed the vibe for her, and all she could see was those two actors as she was reading the book. She's like, it wasn't very good to begin with, and that just completely killed it for her. But apparently there's been a little bit of contention on the set about the ending of the movie. It seems like that there was an ending that was favored by Sam Taylor Johnson, the director, that differed from the ending of the books, or the book, I should say, the first book. She was granted control over the rights of the movie and such rights of the movie that when the director said, okay, we're going to go with this new ending, she said, no. And they had to stick with it because they contractually gave her that much power over the movie. And now this is going to be a spoiler. I guess the first book ends after Anastasia Steele asks Christian Grey, the two main characters, to give her a good shellacking, is the way this article says it. He obliges, she recoils, and leaves him. The ending favored by James, who wrote the original film script with a scriptwriter, the final word of the movie is stop. But the director said that the last word in his version of the movie was red, which for the trilogy was the safe word that they used, because it's a BDSM relationship, and they use safe words to know where the lines are drawn. And I guess the version that was in the movie, she uses the word stop, but the director wanted to use the word red, the safe word. So it sounds like this has caused some tension between the two, between the director and the writer. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
Very, yeah. Brittany read all the books. I started reading the first book. I could not finish it.
I thumbed through it because I bought her the physical copy, and I thumbed through it, and I'm like, I can't do this. I can't. The writing was not great at all. I'm being generous.
No.
I know I got to one point in the book where it was there was like a couple of pages where it was like a contract. It's like in the middle of the book, there was a contract for their relationship, and it was the whole contract was just smack dab in the middle of the text. It's like, what is this? So, yeah, I didn't appreciate that movie, or the book, I should say. Didn't get very far into it. Safe to say, we're not going to be seeing the movie.
I might end up seeing the movie, because Brittany read the books and she did enjoy them, husbandly duties and all.
Sure. Well, it's Valentine's weekend.
It is.
That is by no accident, I'm sure.
No. So that's my first news piece. What do you have? Jeff?
All right. So since Art killed most of my news stories, which is not unheard of, I found this article. It's called How Silly Can You Get? The Tumultuous Making of Top Secret. Guys, do you remember the movie Top Secret?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so made by the same creative team that made Airplane in 1980, this movie they made in 1984. Now, I don't remember if this was discussed in the Airplane episode of Backseat Producers, but Airplane 2 was made by a completely different creative team, which I wasn't aware of.
I don't know that we talked about that.
Okay, well, just,
but thinking about it, that makes complete sense.
Well, I guess that they went around and pitched the original, they pitched the idea for the sequel, but it went so bad, the pitch meetings, that they scrapped it. And they said, well, we have another idea, let's do Top Secret. And I didn't know that this was Val Kilmer's first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you guys hold this movie in high regard?
For the time, I started rewatching it sometime in the last, I want to say it was less than 5 years, and I could not finish it. But I have very fond memories of it. It was very funny when I was a teenage boy.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember this, I've grew up on a military base, so we had a theater with a screen for our theater that when we wanted to go see a movie, and normally we got movies, and I didn't know this at the time because we didn't have any context for this, but we got movies at about the same pace that the second review theaters get them. So like the movies now that are like the cheap theaters.
Cheap theaters, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when we would get them. So we would get movies months after they'd be released. There was not movie rentals or anything like that. So our options for seeing a movie was we saw it when it came to the theater, or we waited until it came on Channel 11 on Saturday afternoon and they did their block of three movies when they weren't showing Cardinals games that day. But yeah, I remember going to the theater to see this, and there was a bunch of us there because you saw whatever movie went to the theater.
Yeah.
You only had one choice. And I remember enjoying it. And I since watched it a couple times. I remember watching it on cable after that. And probably within the last 6 months, I was up late one night and flipping around. There was nothing on. And it was on one of the cable stations, like one of the premium cable movie stations. And I caught it about halfway through and watched it for half an hour while I was playing games on my phone or something. And it's like, that's novel. There was a couple of cutesy little sight gags, but it was, you know, I can see showing Holden this movie and he would probably get a big kick out of it because a 12-year-old would think that some of the stuff they were doing, this is hilarious. And there was enough, you know, booby jokes and stuff like that that would be just, you know, give him the giggles, but it didn't really hold up well.
No.
By their own admission, the creative team thought this was a turd when they made it. But I guess that for San Francisco Sketchfest, they did a screening, and they are kind of realizing that it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. I mean, when compared to Airplane, I think they were happier with Airplane because, you know, Ted Stryker is on more of an arc.
Mm-hmm.
Where nothing, you know, Val Kilmer is the same at the end of the movie than when he is at the beginning. And it seems like that it's more like a sketchbook of jokes, you know, back to back in Top Secret. As far as when I don't think I saw it in the theater. I always, you know, I think I might have seen it on HBO. But, you know, the one takeaway that I always remember is the scene where he meets the members of the French Resistance. And they're all like food and... You know, like, here's croissant and,
yeah,
and, you know, chocolate mousse and all that stuff. So, you know, if I watched it now, you know, I don't know if I'd be able to get through it. But it, you know, always blows me away that, you know, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah. No, I've made reference. I think Airplane is just a much better movie all around.
Yes.
So I've made references to things, and then and Brittany doesn't get them because, you know, she's younger, different generation. And then I'll go and I would show her clips from Airplane, and she's found them hilarious. I couldn't imagine a single thing I could show her from Top Secret that she would find funny at all. You know, it's just it's on a different level, and I think it's much more that adolescent boy humor.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, or to put it in the context of the box office, when it came out, it had to go up against The Karate Kid, The Pope of Greenwich Village, and the Sylvester Stallone, Dolly Parton comedy Rhinestone.
Woohoo!
So wow. as far as for that year, 1984, it would finish seventh behind Ghostbusters, Gremlins, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I already talked about Rhinestone, then Karate Kid, and Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. So, you know, that's not bad company, but yeah, it's, if you enjoyed Airplane, and you haven't seen Top Secret, it might be worth checking out, especially if you're a fan of Val Kilmer. Not my favorite Val Kilmer movie. That will always be Real Genius.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I was gonna say I would recommend Real Genius in an instant before I would recommend this one.
Okay. Real Genius or Willow. I really, really liked Willow.
You know what? I need to see Willow again. It's been a long time.
I don't know that it holds up, but at the time, I really enjoyed it.
You know, I own the sequel novels. And I read the first one. I just never got around to the other two.
Shadow something?
Yeah, Shadow something. Shadow Heart, maybe?
Shadow Heart, Shadow March, Shadow something. I heard it on audiobook.
I was most curious about them because the novels were written by Chris Claremont, the longtime writer of the X-Men, because I was a huge, huge comic book fan at the time. And I picked him up, and I saw him at a signing, and we were talking about it and asking about it. And so it was like, you know, how did you get this job? You know, is it something you went to George Lucas and said, "Hey, can I do this?" And like, no, that's not how it worked. But basically, what it sounded like is Lucas had these notebooks, and I guess these fabled notebooks that he has all his story ideas in. So he had an idea for Willow, and then he had follow up ideas for the novels, and they wanted to hire someone to write the novelization of his ideas. And they kind of threw it out there and got some agents involved. And I guess Chris Claremont wrote a spec script or something for it. And they, they selected his, and he, that's how he got the job. So that's what led me down that path.
Interesting. Would this have been before or after the, you know, that other trilogy he wrote, the Grounded, First Flight, Sundowner?
I think it might have been in the midst of that, maybe, or shortly after. I want to say First Flight came out first. I would have to check.
That's what I thought. I actually just got rid of those. I had those. I read them in high school, and or maybe it was after high school, somewhere in there, depending on when they came out. And they just went out the door.
I'm clicking on the Chris Claremont Wikipedia link. It looks like, oh, this stuff's all out of order. I noticed in the snippet it said that the first novel came out in 87.
Okay, yeah, it sounds right.
And I'm not seeing the other ones yet. I'll keep looking at that.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. The First Flight was 87, Grounded was 91, Sundowner 94. Chronicles of the Shadow War trilogy was Shadow Moon, Shadow Dawn, Shadow Star in 95, 96, and 99.
Okay, well, there you go. Shadow Moon, that was the one I remembered. I only read the first book, or listened to the first book, mm-hmm. on audiobook.
And well, the concept was interesting. And for anybody who might not be aware, the main character, the baby main character, Elora Danan, who Val Kilmer was rescuing in the movie, is now growing up. And she's growing up with the knowledge that she is the one prophesied to be the big thing. I'm so far removed from this, I don't remember the details. But she's grows up with this knowledge that she's going to be hot stuff. So I want to say the first book is set when she's about 12 years old or so, somewhere in there. But it's, imagine a 12-year-old, any normal 12-year-old, who also knows that they are like somebody who's prophesied to be great things. So she's got an incredible ego about her. And that just always kind of struck me as interesting.
I have to go back and check that out again.
All right, so that was my news article on Top Secret and Val Kilmer. So, Art, what do you have next?
Okay, G.I. Joe 3 will focus on these classic villains. So word has it, we're getting Tomax and Zaymont coming to the big screen, the Crimson Twins. And I loved G.I. Joe as a kid. I watched it incessantly. To the point where I actually enjoyed the first G.I. Joe movie. I know most people hated it, thought it was terrible, it's been panned, but I just thoroughly enjoyed it. And it goes back to those childhood memories. And as annoying as they were on the cartoon, I'm interested to see what they will do with it and who they will get to play the roles. There isn't any talk about who it is. It's just that that's the direction that they seem to be going. So were either of you G.I. Joe watchers as kids? What do you guys think of the current movies?
I watched the cartoons a little bit. It was, if memory serves, that when G.I. Joe started, I was kind of getting out of cartoon watching. I was kind of that age where it's like it didn't hit me. I know my brother watched it more than me, and he had more of the toys than I did. I think it was just one of those, the sweet spot of just missing that one.
Right.
And I have not seen any of the movies.
What year were you born?
71.
71. So you're only 2 years older than me, because this was grade school for me, for sure.
Well, and my brother was born in 73. So, okay. So for him, yeah, I mean, you and he are about the same age.
Same age. When exactly in 73?
August, beginning of August.
April, so we're just a few months apart.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember watching the first two miniseries, because if I remember correctly, the cartoons when they first came out were like five episodes. Is that right?
No. There was the TV series, and then they did a miniseries movie that had Sergeant Slaughter kind of narrating, which was like a five-part series. But I don't think it kicked off with that. It was just a regular Saturday morning cartoon, which quickly moved into weekly syndication.
Now, the G.I. Joe that I remember watching was during the week in the afternoon. This wasn't Saturday morning.
I thought it started on Saturdays and then went to syndication, but it could have been just a weekly show.
Yeah, so I didn't watch the cartoon series that you're talking about.
Nope. I'm looking at Wikipedia and I think Jeff's got it right.
Okay,
It looks like there were too many series.
Really?
Let's see, I'm trying to get some dates on those, but there were too many series, then the main series started in 85.
Okay.
There was G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero, a five-part pilot miniseries, which also aired under the title The Mass Device.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Then it looks like G.I. Joe, The Revenge of Cobra was the second one. And then there were two more miniseries, but I'm not quite getting where they fall in the order of when stuff came out.
Yeah, so I was going to say that I was a more casual watcher of G.I. Joe because I think I only caught a couple miniseries and then that was it.
Okay, well, it was a long time ago. My memory is hazy at best.
So I saw the first G.I. Joe. I didn't think it was, I didn't think it was bad. But I didn't see the second one when they brought in Bruce Willis. That one looked even a little more crazy. But.
Right. I know the Retaliation is in my Netflix queue, and I have yet to get around to watching it.
Get in line behind Pacific Rim, baby.
Pacific Rim. Everything is in line behind Pacific Rim now. Everything. With maybe
it's okay,
the
Art. Watch it when you want. We don't, we're not in the peer pressure around here.
I think Agent Carter is the only thing that'll take precedence because I can actually get Brittany to sit down and watch that with me.
Okay. Okay, very good.
We saw the first episode of Agent Carter and haven't gotten back to it.
I really like it.
Let me ask you this, because I had a problem with that two-parter first episode.
Okay.
My problem with it was, oh my God, we get it. There was sexism back then.
Mm-hmm.
To a point where the men that she's dancing circles around because they're being sexist are almost laughably incompetent. Like having someone who is a strong female character going up against strong male characters shows me that she's a strong female character. When the guys around her are kind of buffoons, it doesn't show me that she's that strong. It just shows me that she's better than those jokers. And that's just kind of the sense I got from the first episode. And maybe it was just a first episode thing.
Well, that definitely still is, kind of a driver for the stories that you'll get as you go further along. But I think it might be less intense.
Okay.
Because some of the other SSR agents, they're not. I don't think they're buffoons.
Mm.
But yeah, that is something that they definitely wanted to focus on, in the story.
Oh yeah.
It's
Well, and the other problem with it, and I'll try not to be too spoilery, because you get the sense based on things that happened in the first episode that there is a grand plot. There is an organization that is bad. They even name it in that first episode. Yet if she's part of a spy organization, she learns this, her first instinct is to not tell anyone, to not go back to the people who their job is to know this stuff, and she doesn't tell them. And that, granted, it would have compromised things that she was doing, but at the same time, that would be like, Jason Bourne finding out that there's a terrorist network and just completely ignoring it and saying, you know what? The CIA, those guys, forget them. I'll take care of this. Like, what?
Well, I think her loyalty to Howard Stark kind of plays into that decision.
And I can see that. It just, yeah. There were a few things that, and maybe this corrects itself in the next couple of episodes that I haven't seen yet. But it just seems like a conversation about that where it would have been like, hey, shouldn't you talk to those folks? Yeah, you know what? That would put me in a bad place, and I need to do this other thing because of everything else that's going on. Because right now, that's just – it's kind of hanging over me like I don't understand. I don't understand why you're doing these things. And for me, that's a break, a game breaker for me. If I don't understand why your character's doing something.
Yeah. I mean, it does something that's very awkward is that, you know, she was so in the fold during the Captain America, the first Avenger movie.
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to understand how she would be, you know, downgraded so much in the SSR.
Agreed.
But I still enjoy it. There's a couple things in there that I, you know, probably why I stuck with Lost for so long. Is I need to know what that is all about. And, you know, how it's going to, you know, because with Marvel now, and they are just so all over the place all of a sudden. Not necessarily the writing, but with so many shows coming out and so much content coming out. You know, what am I going to see coming in Agent Carter?
Mm.
It doesn't look like that anything's going to directly correlate to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which comes back in another couple weeks. But I'm still enjoying it, and I know there's only going to be a couple more episodes. I can't see how they're not going to do a season two unless that wasn't the plan. You know, because everything's going to according to the plan for Marvel.
Right.
All right, so I lost track. Who was the last news story?
That was Art telling us about G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So I'm going to make this a quick one because I keep talking a lot. see, this is the danger of having me on the show because I talk a lot.
We're prepared, Tony.
This is going to be a two-parter.
Remember, we first got acquainted by listening to Backseat Producers, so nothing is surprising.
That's true.
You're just fulfilling expectations right now, Tony, so go ahead.
Okay, well, all right, so then I'll continue. So there, back in April of 2014, the woman who is the creator of the Rozolian Isles TV series, those characters, she wrote a book called Gravity back in 1999. Well, this book was the movie rights for this book were purchased by New Line, and this was I don't have all the dates in front of me, but it was purchased a while ago. It was I want to say. Around 2001, I'm sorry, no, it was in 99 that she sold the film rights to the book Gravity to New Line. The contract stipulated that if a movie was based on the book, she'll receive a based-on credit, production bonus, and a percentage of the net profits. The book is about a female doctor / astronaut who's stranded aboard the ISS after the rest of her crew is killed in a series of accidents. A biological hazard aboard IS traps her in quarantine, unable to return to Earth. While the film was in development, she rewrote the third act of the film with a series of scenes of satellite debris destroying IS and the lone surviving female astronaut adrift in her spacesuit. At some point, allegedly, Alfonso Cuarón was attached to direct this movie. In 2008, Warner Brothers acquired New Line Productions, and sometime in 2008-2009, Alfonso Cuarón wrote his original screenplay, Gravity, about a female astronaut who's the sole survivor after her colleagues are killed by satellite debris. Well, Warner Brothers made the movie Gravity. Warner Brothers purchased New Line, and there's a contract dispute that was filed in court in April 2014. Stipulating that under the contract with New Line that was purchased by Warner, the author Tess Gerritsen should be awarded a based upon credit for the story, and that she should have be getting a percentage of the profits. She's suing for $10 million. Within just the last week or so, it was announced that the judge threw her claim out of court.
What?
Yeah. It's not copyright infringement because Warner's, through its ownership of New Line, controls the film rights to the book. So it's it's interesting. It's a, it's an interesting situation. This it sounds like.
Wait. Let me make sure I'm understanding this right.
Yeah.
They're saying that Warner bought New Line, so has the rights to the book, but does not have to honor the contract which grants them the right.
Right. I don't understand. I don't understand that exactly.
Right. I'm just making sure that's what I'm hearing. That is blowing my mind.
Now, granted, where I'm getting this information is from Tess Gerritsen's website. So this is her side of the story. And I, from what I've seen, because I looked around a little bit, I didn't see where Warner Brothers is talking about this too much. Because a judge has ruled, and the judge ruled that there's not enough merit to go forward with the lawsuit. So she's saying, no, there will be no litigation on this. There will be no lawsuit. She did say you have time, and I can't remember the exact time period, but she's given her a time period where basically she can get her proof together, get her stuff in a pile, and come back to him and say, all right, this is why I get the money. It honestly sounds like perhaps just based a little bit on other things I've seen, and Backseat Producers has a few attorneys around. If you guys didn't notice, and understanding the way some of these things work, I'm almost curious if the lawsuit was filed just to get the word out there, just to get it official, and to give them time to start doing their
due diligence.
Yeah, to do their due diligence, to get all their information gathering, to put everything in place, and see what the court says about can we move forward. And basically, it's a delaying tactic to get them time to do that. I am really curious to see how this one shakes out, because I know this is making a lot of independent authors very nervous, nervous about signing your rights to Hollywood, because this appears to be a situation where a parent company swallowed a child company, and the child company made agreements with someone that the parent company is apparently not obligated to hold.
Right.
That seems really odd to me, considering what I know about contracts, but I am not an attorney. So this is going to be one to keep our eye on, I think. I think it's got some interesting implications. Or is it a case of someone trying to grab money from something that may or may not be legitimate?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, we are getting her side of the story, but it seems pretty cut and dry. I mean, that seems that way. From
but
the
then
outside looking
why,
in.
Why did it get thrown out? I mean, if it seems so cut and dry, why did it get thrown out? Because if it is that cut and dry, I mean, the judge basically said, you're not allowed to sue. I mean, we're not going to take this any farther into court to even hear arguments about it.
Right.
So it really sounds like there's just not much on paper proof.
Right.
Now, is this contract, that's not public record, is it?
I don't believe so. I haven't seen it. I'm sure that somebody would have shown that, would have brought that contract out and shown it all over the place by now. Well, considering the amount of people that are really up in arms over this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just, you know, I'm just wondering if the case was thrown out because there is explicit language in the contract based upon, you know, the company that agreed to this contract. If the contract gets transferred to any other party, if the rights are, you know, null and void or something like that, as opposed to some type of law that applies to contracts of this type.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at another article and I see something. There's a quote from the judge that might explain this a little more. Even when her allegations are construed in Gerritsen's favor, it's apparent that she cannot plausibly allege a claim under traditional contract law theories. Gerritsen pleads that she entered into contracts with Katja and New Line that entitled her to payment if Katja produced a motion picture based on her book, and that WB, not Katja, produced the film that allegedly based on the book. No plausible inference arises from these allegations that WB was a party to the contracts or that Katja produced the film. So it sounds like her contract was specifically with, and I'm trying to understand what,
It was just a different company that produced it.
Katja is a company owned by New Line. Katja was not the production company of the movie Gravity. Warner Brothers was.
Right.
And if her contract specifically stated or explicitly stated Katja and New Line, that could be the difference.
Yeah.
They found a loophole.
Yeah.
Man, that's interesting.
Then it sounds to me like it's not a breach of contract, but more a copyright infringement.
Well, it's not copyright infringement because New Line had the rights to produce a movie based on that book. But her contract
didn't revert the rights back to her.
Yeah.
If the company was sold.
That's, right.
So it sounds like a lesson learned, buyer beware kind of a thing.
And apparently she is alleging that New Line and Katja are shell corporations. And she's pleading facts that show WB directs New Line and Katja's business activities.
Right. And wow. And then we'll hear from Warner Brothers saying that they didn't make any money on the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that would have been my preference because I actually had to pay to see that movie. So.
Oh, I know, Tony. I saw the Facebook.
Not a fan.
All right. So, my last news article has nothing to do with movies. It has to do with role-playing games.
Ooh.
Go on.
Art, would you quit the post office to become a professional dungeon master?
There would have to be a lot of money involved in that, and I just really don't. If I could be guaranteed compensation to the level to which I am currently accustomed, sure.
So, straight from the article, would you like to design death trap dungeons, run epic adventures, and portray nefarious NPC villains as your actual job? Roll20. You familiar with Roll20, Art?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Roll20 is a web app that provides a virtual tabletop for running RPGs. It is pretty highly regarded among RPG players who like to play with far-flung friends or internet pals. The listing says the contractor will create engaging content for our audience with an emphasis on showing the best ways to utilize the Roll20 platform across a wide array of gaming experiences. Contractor will host at least 2 live game broadcasts per week, produce Q&A sessions for the community along with our dev team, and be a general go-to resource for other GMs who want to make the most of Roll20's toolset in their games. So yeah, if you ever had that dream of getting paid to play D&D.
So Roll20 is hiring people.
Yes, Roll20 is hiring people. And the work will be done remotely, meaning you can contract with them from anywhere in the United States.
Interesting. Okay.
So there's that. Art, what do you have next?
Okay, well, since that was your last story, I will skip this one and go back to, we talked about $10 DVDs. So I have pulled up a list here, and I have ready to go a link that I am sending you now.
Which, of course, makes great radio, but hold on.
Yes, well, no. Well, I'm going to start. Okay, so there are almost 200 movies, well, DVDs, not all movies, there's TV series and whatnot, at Target for $10. I am blown away by this list. Maze Runner, which just came out not too long ago, Gone Girl, How to Train Your Dragon 2 on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital, $10. One I will be going back for immediately, Edge of Tomorrow, Blu-ray, DVD, digital copy, $10. What else? A Lego Movie, which I already own. I was very sad. I bought that at full price, Blu-ray. A Book of Life, which I told you I just picked up and immediately watched. What else catches my eye here? Despicable Me 2, we'll probably be picking up. X-Men Days of Future Past, just a regular DVD. I mean, this list just goes on and on. The Chef. New RoboCop.
Movie. You can get the movie Chef for $10. I haven't seen it, but I heard it's really good.
Okay. Moving down the list, the original How to Train Your Dragon. I mean, this is just, it's quite a list.
the Snowpiercer Blu-ray for $10?
Snowpiercer's on Netflix right now.
Yes, but as you discovered, it's not going to be on Netflix forever.
It won't be forever.
Mr. Avengers.
Did you hear any of that in the couple of episodes you listened to?
No, I apparently missed that discussion.
Okay, so I had been wanting to watch Avengers with Brittany for some time. She's been watching a lot of the superhero movies. She loved Captain America, the first Avenger. So we were moving to watch the Avengers. The Aubrey was asleep. We were ready to go. She's like, okay, let's watch the Avengers. I go onto Netflix and it's gone. And I'm like, no, why? Where did it go? I never picked it up on DVD. I ended up getting it later from the library, and that's why we ended up watching it in the not too recent past. But yeah, I was very disappointed to find that one gone just when I wanted it the most. Look, Gravity, $10.
Hey, and in other movies you could go ahead and avoid, there's American Hustle and Divergent.
I saw Step Up on the list, too, so that's another one to avoid.
Pitch Perfect, was not a fan.
I enjoyed Pitch Perfect.
You know, a lot of people say that. We watched Glee, and it just felt like a cheap imitation.
Okay. I watched but Glee, too.
I know a lot of people like it. That one wasn't for me.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, too.
Oh, Orange is the New Black, Season 1.
Also on Netflix for now.
Well, it's a Netflix series. I have a hard time believing that that's going anywhere. If you're not on the Netflixes, Orange is the New Black is worth checking out.
How about Batman Assault on Arkham?
I have not seen that one
yet. Even though it's, you know, half price.
Nothing else is really catching my eye here.
Modern Family Season 5, since we're talking about Modern Family before. Even though you can't really buy it because... Just stay home for a week. You'll see it on USA.
Whoa. So I see something I'm going to go probably tomorrow and get because – so Holden and I have been watching the Hobbit movies in the theaters. And we finished the last one, and during the Christmas break, we were going to watch The Lord of the Rings. So it was going to finally say, okay, you've watched The Hobbit, and now you can watch the good ones. We're going to watch The Lord of the Rings, and my – extended edition copies are missing. I cannot for the life of me find them. I see that they have the Lord of the Rings 3-film theatrical collection for $10, all 3 movies.
Mm-hmm. Which nice.
I mean, even if my extended editions come up, they're just the extended edition. It's not, they don't track those so that you can also watch the theatrical cut.
You can watch them in the car.
Well, we can watch them in the car or we can actually watch them because we can't watch them right now.
Well, no, I
don't have a copy.
I'm just saying that's the, you know, for us, that's the sole reason to have DVDs.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we just buy Blu-rays.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
I have a feeling there's going to be a monstrous collection once Battle of the Five Armies comes out of all 6 movies. I can just see it.
Yeah. You're probably...
Well, I need to pick that up for the simple fact that I am gaming regularly with a girl at the table. This is something that has never happened in my life. We are doing Pathfinder. It's fantasy, and she's completely new to the hobby. She's somebody we hung out with, played board games, and she knew we did role playing, and so we kind of roped her in, and she's taken to it. But she's kind of lost in the whole fantasy world thing because she's never read any fantasy, never watched The Lord of the Rings, you know. And so here I could pick up The Lord of the Rings, $10, 3 movies, say, here, go watch that. This will give you a better feel for what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Also, they've got About Time. That's a good one. Silver Linings Playbook.
Which one's About Time? Is that the...
About Time is the one
where... Is that
where...
the Justin Timberlake one, or is that...
No.
That was Out of Time?
I think that might have been In Time.
It was In Time.
Okay.
About Time is the story of a guy who his dad corners him one day and said, oh, by the way, our family can do this thing. And if he focuses, he can go back to any point in his life and change it.
Interesting. That sounds dangerous.
It's really good. It's a time travel romance story, and like Adam and I are suckers for that. Like so we'll like seek those out. And it's really good. I know Jeff, you said recently you're kind of burned out on the time travel thing. This is not big flashy time travel.
Okay.
This is very personal, very it's got a heart to it. I really dug it.
It's mainly because I watched Primer and Time Crimes back to back.
That'll do it. Yeah. That'll do it. Especially so, if you watch Primer, because that one makes you think about time travel a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm still digging through this list. There's a lot of pretty good stuff out there. A lot of TV series. Yeah.
And if you don't have Dark Knight Rises,
looks like I've
Dark Knight Rises, the 2-disc set, $10 Blu-ray, normally $40.
Ted 2's coming out. There's Ted.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tracked each one of them, but it looks like you can get it looks like you can get most, if not all, of Breaking Bad. I saw a number of the series of Breaking Bad seasons. Yeah, some good stuff out there.
Yeah. There is. I was very impressed. So that is all I have. Tony, back to you. Anything else?
I got one more thing. Am I going to be right? Is this the last one, or did you have one more?
Yeah, I think this is the last one. So take us out, Tony.
Okay. This will kill the episode. So Randy Quaid has apparently been having some issues lately.
Lately?
He has, lately, for a while, for a couple of years, he has apparently been kicked out of his house. There are felony charges against him for stiffing a hotel. He was rejected by the Canadian government. Let's see. There's a timeline here of some of the crazy stuff. There was a graffiti incident, unpaid bills, lawyer betrayals, stolen fortunes, a corpse conspiracy. You can read up on all of Randy's antics on your own. But over on the dailybeast.com, there's an article about him. So you can go over there and look. It's pretty easy to find. He goes on this bizarre rant against Rupert Murdoch and Warner Brothers and the New York Post. And he's saying that that they're all against him, that they're coming after him and his wife, and they've set up these arrests that they're conspiring against him. At one point in this video is only about 2 minutes long, also pretty much not safe for work. But during the video, he's just going on and on about Rupert Murdoch and all this. And it's only literally this video is like 2.5 minutes long, but he rants for what seems like 20. And he turns around and he says, you know, this is my wife. And he holds up a mask that is Rupert Murdoch's face. And he said, Rupert Murdoch, you want to F me? I'm going to F you. He turns around and hands his wife the mask. She puts it on, is bent over facing the camera. So you see her face in the Rupert Murdoch mask. He comes around behind her, spits in his hand, goes down. He goes, oh, by the way, you're welcome for that. And just starts going to town on her. It's like, yeah, take that, Rupert. It is the craziest thing I've seen in like 3 days.
Wow.
It's so bizarre. Like there's a dog like barking and howling behind them. So weird. You don't see anything explicit sexually. You see, there's no nudity, but I mean, he's where I was editing myself. He's dropping F bombs. Yeah, it's nuts. But
see, he's one of those people you always imagine he's a little bit crazy just because of how he comes across on the screen. and you just think he's a really good actor, and then you just find out, no, he really is just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's what I got.
Wow.
Wow.
What a way to end the show.
That was a showstopper, sir. That was a showstopper.
This is what you get when you get me on.
Well, yes. Yes. Well, that is the news. And this is the end of this week's edition of Backseat Box Office. Art, you got any parting words?
Go see a movie, because I certainly need to.
And Mr. CEO of Backseat Producers, you have anything to say?
I'm going
to
ditto what Art said. Get out there and see a movie and save up your money, because in 8 months we're going to have Sausage Fest again.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, so everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office, and we will catch you next time.